I'm going to try and be brief with the word, because I really feel we're going to trust God is going to just minister to us a little bit at the end. And so I'm going to time myself to make sure I keep my word. And then not keep you too long, so that we can get some prayer in as well. Okay, let's read from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, and then we'll pray. Should we pray first? Give Daniel an opportunity. Are you almost there? Okay. Okay, I'm going to give those guys an opportunity just to switch over the display. Have you, anybody of you do hiking? Into hiking? As a maybe. Okay, half a yes. When I was a young man, we loved that. So we did a lot of that. And I remember one time, apparently, I don't know, I read this way after I was did most of my hikes. Yeah, you into hiking, Shelley? Hey, what did you do now? The Inca Trail. Wow, yeah, that's a very cool one. It's not in your backyard, but I read somewhere that if you're going on a hike, that it's advisable not to carry more than a third of your body weight. Is that about right? Is that right? So that stage, I didn't think I think I weighed less than 80. But that specific one, our packs were around 30 kgs. So we were more kind of approaching half. But the reason for that was because we like to eat well, and because there wasn't any water on the trail. So we had to carry fresh water. So that's a big one. It's obviously quite heavy. So, but we were young and we were keen, you know, so we didn't care. We just went for it. And, it was tough, I must admit. It was quite hectic. And on the first day, we noticed that this trail isn't used that often. And we're like, it's weird. But anyway, but we kind of, and so there were parts where the trail kind of disappeared. And at one stage, we were kind of coming down a mountain and the trail kind of disappeared. So we were basically just finding our own kind of path, and we kind of split up a bit. We were a group of four or five, and so each guy was kind of making his way down. And at one stage, it was a kind of thick brush, you know, thick bush, whatever you want to call it, and kind of intertwined. And I found myself kind of almost wrestling through this thick underbrush, and with this obviously quite a heavy big pack, it was quite a mission. And at one stage, it got so bad, I got stuck. I was literally, because the thing I was in then had little thorns as well, so it literally, and the more I was trying to get through, the more it was just getting stuck onto my clothes and my backpack and everything. So literally, at one stage, I couldn't move. couldn't make any more progress. And it's funny if you think about it now, but that stage wasn't so funny. But so I remember having to get out a knife. Those days, could carry a knife, but I suppose in the hiking it's not so bad. And I had to literally cut myself loose, you know, cut loose the branches and stuff, and then kind of wriggle myself through. And that's kind of one of the pictures that God gave me when I was preparing for this. I'll refer back to that in a moment. It'll make a little bit more sense. Later on, just interesting, later on that day, we camped down in the valley next to the river. It was amazing. One of the most amazing bits of a hike is at the end of the day, when you take off 30 k's, fully 30 kilos. That's great. You just feel like, wow, you feel light and you feel amazing. and then obviously the next day, we continued and it was very cool. It was beautiful. Beautiful trail through beautiful forests, and then luckily, obviously, as we ate and drank, the packs got lighter. So I think we were probably high 20s by that time. But then the trail got—it was very clear at that stage. It was positive, and the trail came up over, and it opened up over like beautiful grass, like field, and very clear trail still, and that trail went straight into a vertical rock face, basically. Not exactly vertical, almost. And we were very puzzled by this. But being young and energetic, and two of us, my friend and I, were doing quite a lot of rock climbing at that stage. So we thought, no problem. You know? So we went for it. But rock climbing with a big pack on your back is not the same. So it was quite a mission. So two of us made it to the top, and the other two just said, no ways. They're not keen. And so we had to come back down. If you've ever done any rock climbing, normally you abseil down. Climbing down is not good because you can't see where you put your feet. And anyway, it was touch and go. If I think about it now, it's crazy. I mean, just one wrong footing, and because you've got this big pack, it's crazy. Anyway, I'll refer back to that. But we did make it. We're still alive, and it, we found out later on that there used to be a chain ladder there. Somebody stole it. So that happens in Africa when you hike. Somebody steals the chain ladder. Hallelujah. Let's read here from Matthew chapter 9. Then Jesus went about, and go a little bit further in, and we'll make it. Yeah. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This is prayer. As we get into the word, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you not only sent us your word, Father, but you also sent us your Son, Lord, your word in the flesh. And this afternoon, we come and we consecrate this time, Lord. We just take a moment now. I just want everybody to just take a moment just to get quiet before God. Just quieten your mind. And let's just consecrate ourselves to him. We're here, Lord, to meet with you. We're here, we enjoy fellowship together, we enjoy many things together, Lord, but primarily we're here, God, because we want to meet with you. A lot of things are blessed and are great, Lord, but it's in your presence, Lord, that we are changed. And it's your word that transforms us, God, your power, the resurrection power of Christ in and through us that changes us, Lord, that transforms our lives. And thank you, Lord, tonight that we can come with that expectation. And I just pray your peace into every heart now in Jesus' name. I pray your peace into every mind in Jesus' name. And we thank you for grace for us to hear your word, Lord, and to receive it, Lord, the good seed of your word, into good ground in our hearts, Lord, that we bear fruit to your glory, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we see something here. This, when Christ looks upon the multitude of people, we see incredible reaction in his, something stirs on the inside, on his inside. Specifically, it speaks of him being moved with compassion for them. And I've found often when I'm in the city, or even sometimes when I'm using public transport, which I don't do that often, but when I'm like in front of a lot of people or a crowd of people, I remember this verse. And I look at people, and it's interesting, you know. Especially when you're in London, in the morning, even on the trains, there's lots of people. And you look at people. I don't know. Do you do that sometimes? People watching. It's fascinating, eh? I get reminded of this, and I think about where are these people running to? You know, what are they doing? What are they pursuing? What is it that makes them tick? What is it that makes them get up in the morning? It's just kind of, you kind of think around it. At the same time, I'm reminded of this, and I'm thinking, wow, the chances are that quite a big number of these people are pursuing something that is temporary, are running after something that is limited to our life here and now. And I'll touch on it a little bit later. But it's clear that Christ, who looks at the crowds, and he looks beyond the facade. He looks beyond the outside. And that's often on the outside, people look all, you know, all together, and it's going well. And when people ask, how's he doing? And then you go, fine, you know, and everything is all good. But this, but we the society we're living in, there's a lot of stuff that's pressuring us. If you look, just if you just switch on the TV or the radio, you just hear the economy this and the work this and unemployment, and apparently it's there's a bit of growth now in the economy, which is amazing, praise God. But there's a lot of, you know, there's lots of unemployment still. It's tough to get a job. There's lots of pressure. And it, if it was competitive in the labor market a couple of years ago, it's more so now. I don't know if you guys agree. You know, it's guys I know that are looking are on the job market. It's tough at the moment. You know, there's lots of pressure. There's lots of pressures on us. And whether you're a believer tonight or whether you you're not, it's these things are real. These things are real, and they affect us, and they weigh down on us. And the picture I had in was of us kind of being weighed down by like this heavy backpack that I had that time, and weighed down by pressures of the world, worries, so many things that that kind of are weighing down on us. And the picture I had was as if we miss the purpose of God for us on a day-by-day basis so often, because it's as if we get entangled, like I was that day. We get entangled by the stuff that is calling out for our attention, is stuff and in the worries and the fears that that kind of pull at us from every side. And and this evening I really felt that, you know, I want to touch on a few, just a basic few basic principles around this. And I felt that God wants to us to just come to a point where we can find a place to put down the burdens and to get to untangle ourselves from this, the all the fears and the things around us. And I'm just gonna let's quickly look at Matthew 11 as well, and then I'm gonna look at a few practical examples. Okay, let's read it from 28 there. Come to me, this is Jesus speaking to the people. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just read it again. It says, come to me, you all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's the kind of the thing that I saw. And now there are two things here. It talks about burdens, and it talks about yokes. And there's a difference a bit between the two. And a burden, for instance, it's in my mind, I could see a burden as something like a backpack. You know, if you're carrying it and it's heavy, but you can actually throw it down if you want to. And that's, like I said, at the end of the day, it's brilliant. You reach your destination or wherever you want to camp, and you throw down that pack, or you do it gently, so that you can, your stove and whatever is in there can be in one piece. But you put it down and it's amazing. You just feel, it's although you're tired and you're kind of regretting all the fresh meat that you've put in there and the six pack of Coke. No, I'm just joking. Some of my friends have done that on hikes. That's ridiculous. Anyway, that's in terms of weight, okay? So, but putting it down, and I felt that it's really grace for us tonight, for us to recognize some of the things that are weighing down on us, and to humble ourselves, and but then to receive God's grace to lay them down. And but then the other thing that it mentions here are yokes. Okay, now okay, the stuff that burdens. What are burdens? Burdens, maybe things we worry about, anxieties, stress. I think like 100 years ago, people didn't know about stress. Hey? maybe a different kind. Now they've got stress management courses, and you got stress consultants. And when I was studying engineering, they taught us about stress, but that was different. We just try to break stuff. I don't know, Yuck, if you know you something else, but we went into the labs and put stress on metals and made them break. It was amazing. See how long they last. Like pieces of cables and things. But so there's a lot of those kind of burdens that we carry. But yet when we look in Scripture, Jesus actually says to us, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. And, you know, those are like basic things. You know, when you look at the needs, what are those needs pyramid things? You know, the basic needs. What we will eat, what you will wear, what you will drink, what, you know, where you will stay. Christ actually, he encourages us. And often we read that as an encouragement, and it is. Do not worry about tomorrow. But at the same time, if you think about it, it's a commandment. If Jesus says something, and he's our King and he's our Lord, it's more than an encouragement. Are you with me? So he knows that worrying bit is going to kill us. It's gonna weigh us into the ground. It's gonna, you know, pull us down. So he actually says, don't do that, because it's not good for you, and you're gonna miss what I have for you today. How often do we spend most of our time thinking about yesterday? Yeah, you know what, that went wrong, or I got to do this tomorrow, and we miss what God has for us now. Okay, so the second one is what mentions here are yokes. Now, a yoke is, have you ever seen oxen yoked together? When I was a little boy, I had to once lead a bunch of oxen? Like, there's a word for that. Is it a pack? I wanted to say that, but okay. So I once had to lead a pack of oxen that was pulling a big wagon. It was a festival thing that we did in South Africa. It's a little bit embarrassing, actually. But yeah, it was a bit. Yeah, anyway, we got over that stuff, and now we're in the new South Africa. But in any case, so it was quite interesting, though, to see how they operate, because the yoke is something that you can't get out of, because the oxen doesn't want to be there. Okay, so they actually have to tie them in, and they have to. The yoke is, you know, the animal is put into a yoke, it's tied in there, so it can't get out. Does it make sense? So a yoke, for me, points more to a bondage and being enslaved to something. Are you with me? And actually, when you look at Scripture, it speaks of us being enslaved to sin. And when we come to Christ, there's a shift, and we are no longer enslaved to sin and death, sin that leads to death, but we are now called slaves of righteousness. So there's a massive shift that happens there. But this yoke, these yokes that we are enslaved to, those are the things that entangle us and weigh us down and entangle us to a point. And the picture that God showed me is like almost we can't breathe, can't move, and we're incapacitated, basically. We just have to stand still and survive, almost. Just make it. That's the kind of the picture I got. And so I just want to mention a few. I mentioned the economic environment that we're struggling with. So a lot of people have financial stress and financial fears about, you know, lack, and fears about financial stuff and debt. And if I just try to kind of see what are the main things that we would kind of enslave us, it basically all of them come back to a kind of fear. And that kind of, it will differ for each person here. But for each of us, there are things that we fear. Some of it, we're things we're open about. My wife is quite open about the fear or dislike, very strong dislike of spiders and, you know, snakes and stuff like that. And she's open about that. She's also quite verbal about it, loud. You know, when it does occur, that there is a spider or something, she calls me enthusiastically. Hey, you know what happened to me once? This will freak some of you out. I was in a shower. Oh, and it was a flat somewhere. It was in South Africa. And earlier in the day, I saw in the shower there was a spider a little bit smaller. I've got quite big hands. A bit smaller than my hand. Okay, like this. On the wall of the shower. Just near the window. So I thought, he obviously came in the window. He's just visiting. I'll leave him. He can leave on his own time. And later on, I went for a shower. And I looked, and he wasn't there. Before I got in the shower, I looked. No, and I got in, and I was showering, and there was this little, what was it, like a, was it a shampoo thing or something, but something I needed, yeah, to, in my showering process, and he was sitting on the back of this, so when I reached for it, he just dropped into the bath, one of those bath showers. All fine. Now, I'm not so bad as Adam and my wife, but still, isn't, you know, it's not cool if the thing wants to climb up your leg, you know. So what happened is this spider doesn't like the warm water. So it was looking for something, and the sides of the bath are slippery, so it was looking for something to get out of the warm water. So obviously, my legs were like the ideal. So it was coming at me, and then I would just step over it, and it was coming at me, and I was step over it. I thought, okay, we can't go on like this forever. Okay, so we met. Don't worry, I made it out. So we've got lots of fears and stuff. Okay, so most of the stuff that enslave us are fear-based. Okay, so I want to quickly look at Romans chapter 8, very briefly from 15, and we'll refer back to this a little bit later. Okay, I'll have to move. 15, Paul writes to Romans, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And so he makes this very clear distinction. He says, before you might have had this, you might have been under the spirit of bondage to fear. So you literally were enslaved to fear. But now, he says, I've given you a spirit of adoption. God has given us a spirit of adoption. And that doesn't mean you suddenly get an urge to adopt a baby. Okay, that's not what it means. It means, it speaks about becoming sons and daughters of God. It's that spirit of adoption means that you and I come from a place of being enslaved to sin, sin that leads to death, and now coming to Christ, having a relationship with Him, we are now slaves to righteousness when we are sons and daughters of God. That means from being a slave, being somebody that has zero rights, that is kind of just in the system, that is in a yoke of slavery to some fear or system of fear, we now come out of that and we come into a relationship with God, and He has for us fullness of life to a point where He says you are co-heirs with Christ. So a son and a daughter in the house, they're not slaves, they're not servants, they are heirs. There's an inheritance for them. And there's provision for them. There's no begging at the table. My daughter doesn't have to beg for food in our house. I beg her to eat. Actually, she doesn't. She's not keen on eating. So, but there's enough for her. And my little boy, he eats all the time. Luckily, I can't give him. I can't have any part in that at this stage. His mom feeds him. But he likes that. But because there are sons and daughters in the house, they don't have to pay their way. They don't have to, in a couple of years maybe, has to mow the lawn. But at this stage, you know, they're just there. And they're heirs. Of everything that I have, they get the best. Are you with me? And that's the difference between being a slave and being a son and a daughter in the house of God. And I really feel that that's one of those things that God wants to impress on our hearts tonight, that He has got a place prepared for you. And I don't know everybody here. I don't know why you came tonight, but if I just feel specifically for every person here that God wants to impress on your heart. Let's just close our eyes for a moment, so we'd not be distracted. That every person here, God knows you. before the foundation of the earth, he says, I knew you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I put you together. I wove you together in your mother's womb. Before the foundation of the earth, I already knew about you. I've already planned you. I knew the days of your life. I've written them down. I've put a purpose and a destiny for you. I know you. And I know what I've prepared for you. I'm kind of opening your eyes again, but I just feel there's something that God wants to impress in our hearts about that place of sonship, that place of being a son or a daughter in his house. Of knowing that out of, although at work you might be just a number, or you know, depending on how big the organization is, it feels like that. But he has got a specific purpose for you. And the day that where you were conceived, he'd already known about you. There's no accidents. Now, have you heard about people talking? I don't. Okay, these days you don't hear that often anymore. But when I was younger, we talked about illegitimate children. Isn't that ridiculous? Like the child had anything to do with that? Maybe illegitimate parents. Hey, you can be illegitimate children. God doesn't make mistakes, right? He's got a purpose and a plan for you. And the picture I got was that when we get ourselves enslaved again, even though we know Christ, even though we know what he has for us, it's somehow that we allow the weights and the burdens of the world to weigh us down and get us kind of entangled to a place where we're just kind of stuck in a bush like I was. And it seems like we're doing okay. I'm still breathing, and I've got food. I'll be all right. But I'm not doing what God is wanting me to do. I'm not fulfilling. I'm not walking in that purpose. Are you with me? So we're doing stuff, and it seems like we're busy. Have you noticed? Do you know the difference between being busy and being productive? Yeah. Lots of people are very busy. Eh? Just busy, busy, running around. Oh, yeah, I don't have time. Sorry, no. Obviously, it's difficult to judge that from the outside, but I've found myself, I can be very busy, and I can find, but what have I really done? What have I really achieved? In the same way, spiritually, we get into our weekly routine and our weekly rut almost, and it's as if we're missing what God has got for us, because we're entangled by so many things. Okay, so we're looking at fear-based stuff, financial, debt. I've seen people that are so under pressure from debt that basically they feel like they're being choked. It's horrible to see. It's just like they can't move, and it's just in that bush. It was a bit claustrophobic as well. It's a horrible thing. But there are many different things in our lives, and hopefully I'm trusting Holy Spirit will point out stuff in your life to you now that is not in order, and that you need to bring before Him. Anxieties. Fear of failure. Some people have a fear of abandonment or rejection, whether it be of people or of God Himself, and fear of being rejected by Him. A big one is the fear of the unknown. What lies ahead? So we try to save, and we put, we try to organize things so that, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We try to be ready, we try to be organized, because we have this fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? And that's where that thing comes in that Christ says, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. And that he's basically saying, even as I provide for, the animals of the field, that, it refers to the birds and things. And he says, you will have whatever you need. And there's a place in our relationship with God that deals with this, and this specifically coming from a bondage to fear to coming to a relationship and to sonship, to a place where we grow in our trust of the Father. And I would really encourage us, if you're a young believer, don't compare yourself to somebody next to you when it comes to this. Okay, it's a gradual thing. It's a thing we grow in. Scripture speaks of us being young believers, feeding of milk and then more solid foods, and there's a growth process that happens. So don't compare yourself to the guy next to you, but look to Christ, and look to what He's doing in your life, and look to what He's wanting to, what has God prepared for you now. But there's provision for whatever your situation is, there's provision for that. There's, and he's made provision. I remember the time when I was volunteering a church in Stellenbosch for a year, and being training and volunteering, and it was tough because my parents were in a bit of a predicament financially, so they couldn't support me. It was after school, and I was convicted that this is what I had to do, and I just said, okay, Lord, you know, I'll trust you on this one. And it was amazing to see, you know, day by day, God providing from the big things, like somebody gave me a car to use for the year, to somebody saying I can live in their flat for what is equivalent of less than £30 a month for rent. Yeah, I suppose that does sound ridiculous now. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it was 300 rand then. But, you know, up to, and at times it was the next meal. You know, where somebody would say, Yaku, why don't you come over for supper? And I would say, let me just check my diary. Yeah, I'll come. Because I know there's nothing in the fridge. There's no food at home, you know. So I, and that's amazing because God takes us through stuff like that, step by step, gradually, that we can learn to trust him. Learn to trust him in the little things, but also learn to trust him in the big things. So that by the time I had to trust him about to make a wise decision about who I was going to marry, I could know I can trust him. Know that he has prepared the best for me. I can trust his voice when I hear it. I can trust him in his direction, his guidance. Okay. So the fear of the unknown. And we're so tense about that. We're so tense about what lies ahead that we miss the purpose and the plan that God has for us now, today. Today, you have only got once. Okay? Tomorrow, got a whole exciting another new adventures with God. Today is almost over. Okay, let's I'm gonna skip this one. Please read Isaiah 61:1-4. It speaks of the basically anointing of God and his preparation for us in terms of restoring from the former desolations and the former and on any kind of hurt and pain you can imagine, through Christ, he restores and he renews and he provides through that. So we're not going to read that now. Let's go on to the next one. I'm just going to quickly read on from verse 15 where we left off now. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And what God presses on my heart is that when you and I are so entangled in the stuff of the world, this last bit is never going to happen. The sons of God, we can't really reach the fullness of being sons and daughters of God in that place of bondage, being enslaved, being entangled, being in that place of just running after stuff in the world. And that's why there's this eager expectation, because the whole of creation is waiting for you and I, the sons and daughters of God, to be manifested, to be revealed, because the glory of God is gonna be revealed through us and in us. And his purpose and his kingdom will come in and through our lives. I'm just quickly going to look at Acts chapter 3 and then we're going to close. Pray a little bit. Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And I felt that this is important for us because the first step, if you do recognize there's fear in your life, if you do recognize there are cycles in your life, stuff that you're kind of facing again and again, and it's almost like you don't know how to get around this one. Maybe it's a struggle around finance. Maybe it's a struggle around relationships. The different things that almost keep us ensnared. And if I'm trusting tonight, if there are cycles like that in your life, that you would take hold of the grace of God for you for that situation. But the first step of that is, and we're going to do that in a moment, the first step is repentance. Okay, repentance means a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of thinking about something, and then obviously that resulting into a change of doing. But the important thing here is to recognize, listen, having fear in my life, fearing and you know, allowing fear and submitting to that bondage of that yoke of fear is, I need to repent of that. You know, I just say, okay, Lord, I repent because I haven't been trusting. I repent because I haven't been not worrying. I've been worrying. So repentance is the first thing. And then let's look quickly at 1 Peter 5 and we're going to close. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm just going to quickly jump back to the previous one. Sorry, Dan. But a very important thing, after the repentance, and that's the key here, after repentance is the place where we can experience refreshing. And often we just think of repentance as a negative thing. But repentance almost is like putting down that pack at the end of the day, thinking, let me just throw off this burden, this yoke. Let me just repent. Let me just come clean. And the Lord says, then we can experience times of refreshing in his presence. It's then that we can come to him and we can be restored and we can be renewed and we can be refreshed. And we can, it's like he wants to just fill us with his spirit so that we can enjoy the fullness of what he has prepared for us every day. And then the last one, as we read now, this is a place of humility, okay? God resists the proud. Okay, so the first point, of course, is to humble ourselves, to acknowledge, God, I worry about stuff. I stress. There are things in my life that, you know, if I have to be honest with myself, when I'm alone, there's, you know, things that keep me awake at night, where there's stuff that I worry about, stuff that I fear. I want to repent. I humble myself because I acknowledge I don't want this in my life. And I humble myself and I want to repent. I want to receive grace from you. And it says, they're casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let's stand this evening. I just want us to close our eyes, and I just want us to just, I'm not going to necessarily call people forward for most of the prayer, but I want us just to really earnestly just respond to God where you're standing, just be between you and God. So let's just close our eyes. Nobody's watching you. It's just a moment now just to, I'm just going to trust now, I'm going to pray, I'm going to trust for the Holy Spirit conviction to show us if there's stuff that he wants us to deal with. And if while we've been talking, things have come up and you know the things that you stress about, things that you fear, things that you worry about, stuff that is weighing you down, there's a yoke that is burdening you and it's not of God, then I want you just to take a moment now, just in your own words, just to bring it before God, humble yourself, and to repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I have been stressing. I repent of fear in my life. I repent of anxiety. And I choose to put my trust in you. I choose to lay down this burden. I choose to throw off the yoke of slavery to fear. So let's just pray and let's just do that. Father, we thank you right now for your Holy Spirit conviction. Thank you, Lord, that you speak into every heart. I just speak quiet now into every mind and every heart. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord, that you show us, you put your finger on those cycles, Lord, those fears, Lord, those things that entangle us, Lord, those things that want to incapacitate us spiritually to a place where we can't move. We're just kind of surviving. We're just going day by day through the routine, but spiritually we're standing dead still. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you open eyes now, even in the spirit, Lord, even every eyes closed, Lord, that you help us to see. And I thank you for grace this evening, Lord, for us to humble ourselves before you, God. In Jesus' name. Let's take a moment just to bring that before God. God, we thank you, Lord, we humble ourselves even as a congregation, Lord. We repent of worrying, Lord, or stressing about what may come or what lies ahead. We repent of fearing, Lord, so many things, God. And I thank you right now for times of refreshing, that we can choose now to throw off the burdens, Lord, throw off the weights, throw off the yokes of slavery to fear, God, and slavery to so many things, in the name of Jesus. And while every eye is closed, I just want us to proclaim this after just the word. And if you can just, I'm just going to, yeah, if you can just follow my lead. Lord Jesus, I choose to receive your word. And I declare that I have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but I have received spirit of adoption, by whom I cry out, Abba, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, Lord. We thank you for liberty from bondages, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance of stuff that entangles us and fears and bondages and yokes of fear right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we break every yoke of fear in this place, in the name of Jesus. And thank you that your perfect love casts out fear, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for every person here, Lord, they would know your perfect love for them right now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you know every person here so intimately. You love them so much, God. You lay down your life, Lord Jesus. You lay down everything that you could lay down. Your glory coming as a human, Lord, coming in the form of a man, in the flesh. And then being obedient to the point of death, where you laid down your life and you took our punishment upon yourself. You took our sin, our debt of sin, and that curse that was supposed to be on us, you took upon yourself. And thank you right now in the name of Jesus that every one of us can be fully convinced that you love us, Lord. And you've done everything in your power to deliver us from fear and from bondage, God. And tonight we take a hold of that freedom in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. In Jesus' name. God, at the same time, I thank you right now, Lord, that there's a grace for us. As your word says, that when the place where we find rest, God, is when we take your yoke. When we find rest for our souls is when we have your yoke and your burden. Your yoke that is easy, your burden that is light. And in the name of Jesus tonight, and while every eye is closed, if you're here tonight and you have not chosen to take Christ's yoke, and you know tonight you need rest for your soul, you haven't had rest for your soul. It's been hectic. It's been crazy. There's been lots of storms in your life. There's been lots of things coming at you, and maybe that tonight you're not sure. You don't have that surety, that sure of your relationship with Christ, and you don't have that place of rest for your soul. There's still conflict happening. There's still storms happening in your life, and you need rest for your soul. Then, while every eye is closed, nobody is watching or anything, it's just between you and God. I just want you to raise your hand and say, "Lord, I need rest for my soul. I need to take up your yoke and your burden." Is there anybody like that tonight? You can raise your hand. I just want to pray with you tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? You can, if you've put up your hand, you can put it down again. Is there anybody else? Okay, let's just pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. You've seen hands and you see hearts. And this evening we come boldly to you, Lord. And we say, yes, God, I need rest. Lord. We need rest for our souls. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that as we lay down the yokes of slavery and bondage, Lord, as we lay down the stuff that entangles us, Lord, as we cut ourselves loose by the blood of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your yoke tonight, Lord. And we thank you for your burden. Thank you, Lord, that we can again ask that you would light the fire in us that is your purpose for our lives, Lord, your destiny that was formed in your mind, in the mind of God, in your designer mind. The blueprint for our lives was already prepared before the foundation of the earth. And tonight, Lord, we say, yes, God, I want that one. I want that yoke, Lord. I want that burden. It's light. I want that yoke. It's easy. I want to run with you, Lord. I don't want to be stuck in a bush. I don't want to be stuck entangled in the world. I want to run with you, God. I want to run with your purpose. I want to see your kingdom come in and through our lives, God. So that's our cry tonight, Father. We humble ourselves, God. We lay down the burdens and we take up your yoke, Lord. We take up your burden. And thank you, Jesus, that it's there that we find rest, Lord. It's there that we find peace, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And I speak the peace of God over every soul here, over every heart. The peace of God surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, again for a clarity that we will be that we will cut away the entanglement, that we will be clear and know that this is what you're calling us to do. This is your kingdom coming in and through us. This is your plan. This is your purpose. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your glory to be manifested in and through our lives. Thank you, Lord, even this week, Lord, as we walk in your purpose, that there will be a revealing of the sons and daughters of God, Lord. There will be a glory upon our lives that people will see it's not of us, God, but it's of you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.